This podcast is brought to you by High Five Tom, a proud family member of
Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
And honored to be part of
The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Listen, fatty, the last thing your waistline needs is another Twinkie.
Just sit there. Ring of Honor is coming right back.
All right, High Fivers, 15 fucking buttons later, this is your boy High Five Tom. And I've got the Okerlund-nominated podcast host, my good friend, Mr. Will Mercier, where we're getting pretty close to our fuck you again Zoom thing here. But Will, starting out hot, how are you today?
Doing all right, Tom. How about yourself?
Good. Spring might actually officially be here. I mean, we only got about 8 inches of snow last week, but it's all gone.
It's we got the big woof of snow a couple weeks ago, and then it's really been nothing since. But for me, and how I regulate is hot outside. To me, it is warm. Like, we are in the throes of like the shorts, flip flops, tank top, maybe a hoodie, depending on how breezy it is. I know you wear shorts year round.
Yeah, it was like mid 65 today.
I would wear on my off days. I wear shorts. I don't like wearing shorts at work. I technically could, but I don't like to.
Yeah, I got
not at this job. And on the vine, I wore shorts all the time.
Yeah, I got my first talking to at the office about, like, yeah, you really shouldn't be wearing basketball shorts. I'm like, well, actually, I got out of it because I was actually wearing, like, dress shorts when they talked to me because I take the bus. You know, and you don't want to be wearing your nice clothes on the bus because if something, you know, especially if it's raining, if I got to wait half an hour for a bus, I don't want to sit there in my wet clothes all day.
You know, it looks like a mark.
And that's the other thing. I mean, not to be this guy, but I mean, you go through some less than reputable areas of town, and normally I wouldn't care, but I am carrying with a, you know, $1,500 laptop that's not mine. You know, so.
Thanks.
So, yeah, this is pretty funny. It's the maintenance guy, and he was just like, oh, he's like, I'm not sure if they're talking about you or not, but I'm like, so I'm just waiting to get that email, so. It's like, fuck right off. I do what I want. Well, yeah. But Will, Ring of Honor TV.
It's here. We're still in Vegas.
236. Original air date. Oh, yeah. It'll be 10 years tomorrow. March 26, 2016 at Sam's Town in Las Vegas.
And this was really recorded at like the end of February.
Maybe more middle of February.
No, I thought the cage match date was towards the end.
Yeah.
What show did they do in Vegas? They did a show in Vegas, didn't they?
No.
Where was the 14th anniversary show?
Oh, shit. It was in Vegas. That was
I think this was taped after
Oh. anniversary show, which was like mid-February.
Yeah, so.
Will, did we get a dark match for this one?
I didn't look. I don't think to look every time for the TV tape or for the.
Yeah, I don't either. As I'm
the TV stuff.
Let's see what we got here.
Especially now that we're like a little ways into there. The taping.
Yeah, no dark matches. So it looks like this TV taping is right at 6.13 overall.
Yeah, that's probably about where I'd say it sits.
Yeah. There's definitely an episode where they could have trimmed some fat. But I shouldn't say as always, but for the radio, we do have Kevin Kelly and Mr. Wrestling 3 on a call here in Vegas. Mr. Wrestling 3 is obviously still kind of upset he's not going to Japan. But it looks like, Will, we've got Jay Lethal versus my boy, Roku. I can never say it. Goto in the main event.
And he's going to go to the hospital.
Can't believe they re-showed that promo again.
They sure did.
But we did start off with some action
little four-corner survival.
With our good friend, Mr. Roderick Strong, Adam Page versus Moose versus Matt Sydal. And obviously it's four-corner survival. Sorry, and, Josh.
We touched on it last week. Sydal came out with his tag title this week.
IWGP Junior Tag Team Champion with Ricochet.
Old Trevor. Old Baldy himself.
And maybe he may have also been a Puma or a Prince of a Puma.
He might be a big cat enthusiast.
But Josh, sorry, this is only one follow-up finish, as is Four Corner Survival. Not a bad match. You know, obviously, we've talked about it. We've got the benefit of foresight, but, well, we are getting pretty fucking close to this Hangman character. Like, each week you can kind of see a little bit more and more.
Yeah, I didn't mind this match. I thought, it's a good place to kind of show everybody. I'd say the only thing that really jumped out that I didn't like was that kind of at the end, but I mean, we want to talk about like a great showing for Moose, right? Sydal's going for all this like head scissor stuff, and Moose is holding himself upright. He's solid. Like, he's not wavering having this man wrapped around his neck, basically, and just like full body weight.
Yeah, and I mean, he caught him, like you said, and he's just wicked strong. This Moose, and he didn't do the barricade spot this time, though, which I thought was kind
of he opted for a buckle wall or an apron bomb. Shouts out to Kyle,
as always. But there's one point where Adam Page was face washing Sydal. I always do like a good foot face wash. Will, I don't know if you do this or not, but do you ever like make compound words out of words that aren't compound?
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, do that all the time. It's the new shorthand.
I mean, I do that all the time. I was just like, I mean, it's just a space, but I mean, they kept wanting me to correct it to face, space, wash. But I'm like, no, it's a compound word. So I've always done that. I don't know why. I thought that was kind of funny. I liked that it was the one spot where Roddy didn't like the Moose chant. You know, Moose doing the whole Moose thing. Roddy punches him in the mouth.
I feel like that Moose did the double team drop kick where he picked up two people on the corner and did the one drop kick, and it hurt them both.
Yeah. Roderick Strong showing off how strong he is. See what I did there? With that gut buster on Moose, I mean.
That's a big boy to hoist up, and Moose sold it.
Yeah. But in the end, like I said, Adam Page is he's not calling it the buckshot yet. Whatever he calls his lariat.
No, they still call it the lariat, still the buckshot lariat.
That's good.
It's just not his it's not his finisher yet. That's just like a signature move. They don't call it the dead eye, it's still called the rite of passage.
Dead eye is way better. But of course, BJ Whitmer's got to come in. This dogs.
So, like, this is what I didn't like. Like, okay, I kind of knew when they poised Hangman was gonna be in like a very good spot, that BJ was gonna come out. What I didn't like is it felt like the timing wasn't quite right.
Yeah.
Because I feel like even when he went for the buckshot lariat, like, people weren't, like, really in position. So it was kind of like, even the crowd kind of went a little like, huh, that was an interesting choice to somersault over those ropes to nothing.
Yeah. But Seidel does get a shooting star, but he does eat a backbreaker. And then we get a sick knee that knocks out Adam Page. So Adam Page goes from about to win this match to eating the pin from the former Ring of Honor TV champion. Just remember, Will, Roddy is no longer your Ring of Honor TV champion.
Correct. He also, they remind us at the start of the match on commentary that Roddy and Adam Page were both technically in the decade at the same time.
Wow. That's true. Oh, the decade just will never die. But speaking of trimming some fat.
Also, for storyline purposes, they bring up how last week BJ Whitmer had a TV title match opportunity that he willingly gave up for a substantial amount of money. Mr. Wrestling 3 said, you know, for a guy who his whole shtick, right, is all about pride and his work rate and all the work he's done, it seems kind of odd that he would just kind of sell his spot so easily.
Yeah. And we don't know if he actually ever opened that envelope. Because if I got an envelope...
It could be the same envelope that Dijak stuck down the back of his shorts. We don't know.
I mean, no offense to Vader Scott, but if I got an envelope with a check in from Vader Scott, I'd be checking that thing.
Listen, you get a check from anybody. You got to hold that shit up to the light. You got to get one of the pens. You got to check the numbers.
Take them with you to the bank.
Excuse me, this says Dank of America.
After that, Will, Adam Cole comes out, says a bunch of words. You know, he's on a downward spiral, but he's still the best pro wrestler in the world. He is the uncrowned champion, blah, 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 blah. You know, he's on his own. Lethal has the House of Truth. Kyle O'Reilly has Bobby Fish. Blah, 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 but blah.
Adam Cole's got nobody. Oh, shouts out to Mr. Wrestling 3 when Adam Cole says, who's ready for story time with Adam Cole? And he's like, I am.
You know, it's good to see that Mr. Wrestling 3 is also a stand for Mr. Wrestling 3, just like Steve Carino.
I'm still not over the fact that he had Mr. Wrestling 3 all over his fucking gear at that final battle that we watched. And yeah. I didn't notice it in that moment, even though I knew this happened later. It's going to haunt me for forever.
You know, well, I mean, it was...
Cue up the sound bite for things I didn't know until I was 30.
Yeah. But Dear New Hampshire's very own.
Right. Someone takes offense a little to what Adam Cole says, and Bennett comes out, or not Bennett, no, sorry. As we discussed, Bennett's in TNA.
Yeah. Still got the same music though.
It's the Kingdom music. So it's got the Bennett part, it's got the Cole part, it's got it is the Kingdom song.
Yeah.
Which makes sense because according to Matt Taven, he is the Kingdom.
And real quick, I do want to jump up here to 2026. Good friend of the show and my good friend Tristan. Good idea. And who helped me get those sweet tickets. We're living that sweet life for G1. But Tristan was actually a shield for Matt Taven last night as we speak in a match at Jewel Osco against Killer Cross. So we have a little Ring of Honor and Lucha Underground synergy going on there. Actually, I think it was put on by Jewel Osco, but it wasn't actually at Jewel. But it was like a free wrestling event. Like, and actually, Dijak was there. The Good Brothers were there. Yeah, and I gave them free hot dogs and free popcorns from Jewel Osco. So I don't know what happened there. But yeah, and like I said, you know, it comes out. You know, the Kingdom is back on TV. And they're going to, and Taven says they're King's back on TV, and they're going to exceed more than ever before, Will. You know why?
No, Adam Cole.
They won't have Adam Cole.
I appreciate that Taven pointed out. It's like, you know, when I blew out my knee and then wrestled another 10 minutes, you said I dropped the ball. But he's like, Mike and I went to Japan and won gold. He's like, you lost every chance you had.
Yeah.
And I thought I was going to elevate my stock by attaching myself to Adam Cole. And he's like, and really, what have you done since? So Adam Cole dumped in the middle of that Vegas ring.
Yeah. Good to see Matt Taven back. You know, Taven and Max, like, you know, I cost myself at least 6 months of rehab, you know, by sticking on that match. You know, and he, and the most part is the kingdom will be rebuilt. And Matt Taven's image, he's the only one still standing. Will, obviously, we say this all the time. We have the benefit of foresight. We won't spoil it for any new listeners or anyone that may not know what's going to happen. Are you looking forward to the new kingdom?
No, because I couldn't tell you who the other guys are. Oh, no. Oh. I remember one of them.
Okay. One of them.
Then there's the other one.
Yeah, good friend.
I feel bad saying the other one, but.
Okay. Yeah. But, one is good friends with the Shining Wizards.
You could say I dig the one of the new members of the kingdom.
The other one wasn't bad, but then he broke his leg, and I don't think he ever came back.
So. I don't think so either. I think he was kind of like, yeah, he got hurt and was just like, I'm done. Like,
yeah, which is a shame.
But the other guy, pretty righteous.
Well done, Will. Well done. But and we'll get into this here a little bit later with the main event, but this went on for fucking forever. They really could have cut like easily 2-3 minutes out of this fucking promo.
You didn't like I mean, I think you're putting the cart. Are we still talking about the Kingdom one?
Yeah.
The Adam Cole bit felt a little too drawn out. Like, I'm getting a little sick of hearing Adam Cole bitch about Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah. You know, it's been.
It's like, Adam Cole, Kyle O'Reilly shouldn't even be in that match. I beat Kyle O'Reilly all the time. So like, why didn't you?
Yeah.
Why didn't you pin Kyle O'Reilly and win the world title in that triple threat?
Yeah.
It's like, you're talking out on one side, and it's like you're not fixing your case.
No.
If anything, you're proving Taven right. You're talking about needing to cut time off. I thought we were on to the next segment of the show.
Well,
you want to talk about some time you could have saved.
Yeah, but before that, we did get a quick Dalton Castle promo, which
I am a clothes optional man.
Got some good feedback. I know.
Possible name of the episode. I'm a clothes optional man.
You know, we could definitely do that. Don't not let me for young Jamie, write that down. Don't let me forget that.
Not a Joe Rogan reference. Oh
yeah. That's right. You're not a Rogan guy, are you?
I'm not a what?
You're not a Rogan guy, huh?
No. I liked him when he was the host of Fear Factor.
I liked you. I mean, I'm probably going to get a bunch of shit for this, but I mean, I listen to every podcast, but or every episode, but I don't know. He knows a lot of shit about some things and not some things. So hopefully he gets Jesse Ventura again on. You see Jesse Ventura.
Oh, I saw.
We'll go into the specifics, but he's not wrong. Saw. I always like Jesse the Body. I mean, I like my tinfoil hat shit. So. And Mr. Ventura is not wrong, and he's obviously can back it up. So that's good shit, Will. But speaking of things we could have cut out, no offense.
His opponent is already in the ring.
What's that tell you? And he just missed the cut on the deepest top prospect tournament ever.
I wanted to hear who he lost to. Like, who else was in his match? Like, who is he like qualified against? Like, who is he edged out by? That's the deals I want to know, because I this who the fuck this guy was. I didn't cage match this guy, but I don't know how much would be there to look up, but
I did look it up and I completely forgot to write it down.
So some real memorable stuff.
Yeah.
What was it? Tanning Winter? Is that what his name was?
Fox. Oh, Manier.
That's right. That's so fucking dumb.
Yeah. Cause
I'm kind of glad he got fucking beat up. I don't love it that Cheeseburger technically loses by disqualification.
Oop. But, yeah, I mean, we love Cheeseburger, and, I mean, Cheeseburger kind of dominated him. And that was until the All Night Express came out. And, Will, by the way, keep in mind,
I thought for sure, because I wasn't paying a whole lot of attention, because I had my phone up on the the countertop. So when I saw somebody get pulled out of the ring, I assumed initially that it was Cheeseburger. But it wasn't. They beat up the jobber.
Yeah.
They told him to put the shote away.
Oh.
Oh, there was another one right after. It's like, it started out, I'm like, okay, where are they going with this? And this went way too long.
Wow, he's still going. I mean, Fox is still wrestling.
Good for him.
He's had 3 matches so far this year. Had a whole bunch in 2025. He beat Sergeant Fury. Looks like he's kind of up in your neck of the woods a little bit, like Albany, Pittsfield. The Masonic Lodge of Pitts. I used to live in Lenox, which is right next door to Pittsfield, Massachusetts. You ever been to Pittsfield, Massachusetts, Will?
Can't say as I have.
Battle of the Berkshires.
I admittedly have not dabbled too much in Western Mass.
Well, you wrestled Brian Cage on AEW Dark back in 2021.
Probably got squashed.
125, yeah. So he's had a solid run. He's wrestling more than I am, but he's wrestling more than fucking Action Ortiz, I'll tell you that much. That guy fucking sucked. Maybe that's who he wrestled. Because it's the only guy that fucking Action Ortiz could fucking beat, buddy. It's not, there's not a rating on cage match, but he's still wrestling. But general gist of it is, Annex comes out. They're trying to recruit Burger. I tune up. Well, 14 seconds of this promo.
Right. What were they trying to recruit him for? I didn't feel like there was really a point to this.
Like he's being
other than for just an excuse to get them like in the ring to have the rest of the stuff happen.
Yeah. So it's just like they're being disrespected, blah, 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 blah. They say a bunch of words towards all the other tag teams and they beat a Burger. And then, of course, the Briscoes come out.
I mean, I did kind of like the bit where Kenny King's like, Burger, you know me. I'm still Kenny King. And Brett's like, yeah, and I'm still right. I'm still Rhett. He takes off his shirt, the brand new shirt that you can get at ROHWrestling.com. The first ever official ANX t-shirt.
Yeah. I mean, I was glad to see ANX, initially. The boo was definitely off the rolls. This is definitely 5 minutes of my life.
They even said that. They're like, when we were champs, you guys cheered for us. You threw streamers for us too. Now look at you. They're reading like mean tweets, which aren't even that mean. It's just like, All Night Express stinks. Say it to my face. Say it to my face.
Yeah, and then calling up like people in the crowd. It's like, yeah.
This is a very long and drawn out way to get them to beat down Cheeseburger, which brings out two of the best tag teams in the locker room come out for the aid of Cheeseburger. And after ANX has been run off, Briscoes pick up the titles. Oh,
by the way, so you want to know who? So in a dark top prospect tournament 2016 qualifying four-way match in North Carolina, LSG, friend of the show, defeats Fox Vineyard, Ken Phoenix, and the man with a lot of nicknames who unfortunately his guest spot on the Shining Wizards Network has been scrubbed.
Yikes.
So, Mr. David Starr. So, yeah, that was his two matches he had. Wow, that match went up 122. I thought it went like 18 minutes. So it just dragged on. Yeah, because that was a dark match for Ring of Honor TV about 9 weeks ago. So, yeah. Thanks for coming, Vox.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you, LSG.
Yeah. No shit. But yeah, between this and the, you know, and the Adam Cole taping from, I mean, we could have really given the main event like five more minutes.
Maybe I know they chop it all together, but like, not a great choice to have like a two match show in like the middle of the show is like all the promo stuff. Like, you don't want to end on like a promo, like definitely not either of these. At least if you ended on like the Kingdom one, that would have been like an interesting like thing to leave it with. It's like, Cole, you're out of the Kingdom. It's yeah. Like, ooh, a little intrigue. What happens next? But instead, Tom, we have our main event. Hirooki Goto.
Versus Jay Lethal.
Has earned a title shot for his defeat of Dalton Castle at the 14th anniversary show. And his just current win and loss record.
Obviously, you know, I shouldn't say obviously, but for those who don't know, I mean, he never reaches the mountaintop till about a year ago.
Yeah, it was like a year ago, right?
You know, and he had a bunch of good runnings in the G1, had a couple good runs in the New Japan Cup. Once again, he had one this year also. But obviously, he spent a lot of time in tag team with Yoshihashi. So that's really the, you know, the story of the, well, I mean, not really of this match, but I'm pretty sure that was his first world championship in general.
Yeah.
And you forget, listen, he would have been the second Japanese-born Ring of Honor champion, Morishima being the first. I was definitely starting to get pretty tired towards this, so this match is okay.
It was a pretty run-of-the-mill Jay Lethal match. I will say some standout stuff towards the end. I think the first thing that really jumped out to me, the headbutt.
Ooh.
I don't know why he didn't go for the cover after that headbutt. Headbutted Lethal in like kind of like the shoulder, neck area, and Lethal folded. I would have gone for the cover, but he picked him up, hit the I don't know what the proper move was, the falling neck breaker there from when Lethal's up on his shoulders, only gets a two count. You know, he's trying to capitalize. Taylor Hendricks grabs his foot. He stomps on her hand, and she's like on the ground rolling from having her hand stomped on. And
Taylor had a rough couple weeks.
I mean, that's what she's there for. And then, typical fashion, he gets dropped to the ropes. Martini attempts to hit Goto with that book of truth when he's draped across the second rope. But Goto rips it away from his hands. Todd Sinclair rips it out of his hands. Super kick. Lethal injection. Jay Lethal wins again.
So
we're starting to get to a point where they got to spice this up a little bit, because Lethal's a, you know, great champion, obviously, right? He said the rocket strapped to him for a while now. But it's a lot of rinse, lather, repeat. Like, a lot of these title matches are all very kind of play out the same way.
Yeah, and you can tell Lethal's getting a little tired. He's starting to run out of gas here a little bit. I mean, he's been going. You know, it's not like he hasn't been defending the title. You speak of rinse and repeating. I don't think going forward, though, Will, that the Book of Truth or Truth Martini himself may or may not be much of a factor for Jay Lethal going forward.
Right. We heard, you know, that something was going to happen to Truth Martini as per our coverage of Conquest 2 weeks ago. While the House of Truth celebrates, out comes Prince Nana and Dynamon Dijak.
Da-na-na.
They get in the ring. Dijak gets right up behind Jay Lethal. And holy shit, is he tall.
He's not short.
He's definitely not short.
It sounds like he was actually in he's been in Wisconsin a couple times in the past couple weeks. Like, so he was at the Drew Lasko show. Sounds like he's having a decent run in MLW. I mean, he's got flashes of it.
Is he tag teaming with Bishop Dwyer, whatever his name is, right?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Formerly known Baron Corbin.
Do you see that on the Twitter machine? Where the guy's like, you're just, what do you say to him? He's like, you're just standing out for Baron Corbin or something like that. And
he's trying to be like a ripoff of Baron Corbin. He's like, bro, I am Baron Corbin.
That guy's acting like he owned him on. He's like, oh, I'm famous now. I'm like, no, you're just getting blocked. So he's been blocked. So if you want to go and proactively block him on the Ring of Honor or Reverie Twitter, well, feel free.
That would involve me actually being on Twitter long enough to actually do anything.
I block a lot of people. That's why my timeline's nice, and it's almost all of wrestling. But, yeah, but I get to be – yeah, I mean, he's got probably, what, 6 inches on Lethal?
Yeah, like he – Lethal's head is like between his pecs. Like, so when Lethal does the turn around, and, oh, shit, there's somebody there, it's like he has to, like, stop and, like, look up because it's like, who the fuck is behind me? But Lethal is dispatched. Truth hits him with the book. No sells the book. Hits him with a. He kind of gets in the grill of Nana. He eats a rolling big boot, and he seizes up.
Now, if this would have happened like 2 weeks ago, it wouldn't have been as
right. It would. I mean, it's still kind of not funny because what happened in OVW is a horrendous.
Yeah, because you saw the actual clip, right?
Oh, I saw it. They shall be fucking fired.
And like I said, I mean, I try not.
I couldn't. Like, I'm not a wrestler.
Right.
I don't know what's going through their head, but I'm pretty sure if I saw the referees having a seizure. Or something like as serious as a referee, maybe I would roll them out of the way and keep going through the match. Maybe you guys make the call at that point to be like, something's obviously wrong.
Yeah. I mean, this is a television product, so someone's on the back calling,
usually call it to the referee and the referees.
I'm not a wrestler also, but I mean, if you saw social media, every wrestler that is a wrestler was down. I was like, oh. That's not good. But, yeah, because, I mean, Truth is – I mean, he's out. He's not going into full seizure mode, but it looks
like – Right, he's not having a seizure, but he's doing, like, the hands. He's got, like, the claws. I thought he was going to get hit. It was, like, he – compared to other bumps Truth Martini has taken.
No, still that one where he took it, that one – this hip landing on the fucking barricade.
Oh, and cut him all up, yeah.
Oh.
So, like, this boot, it kind of looks sloppy. Like, it didn't look – It's one of those things where I feel like if he raised his foot all the way for it, it would have been way too high.
Yeah.
So you had to kind of like lower it. So it just kind of looked like a weird, like spinning kick thing. And it looked like it barely grazed Truth, but he stiffened up, like had the claw hands, was like shaking the hands a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, you know, breaking on the fourth wall, we don't really want Truth to actually get hit by something like that. So, I mean, good on him for, you know.
I mean, it's not how I would have sold, but I also don't do a Truth-a-Rooney. When did he even start fucking doing that? Like, it's so weird. He's such a weird man.
And I don't think that's too much of a gimmick either. So, from what I've heard. Not that I've got any insider information.
Listen, he's from Kalamazoo, Michigan, right? I mean, you can't come from a place called Kalamazoo. It's like, how could you be from a place called Rancho Cucamonga and not be
a buck?
You'd have to be a young buck. It's a perfect breeding ground for spot monkeys.
Yeah, I mean, Kalamazoo is a nice town. I mean, it was famous for Elvis working at Burger King. I know it's a little bit before your time, but Yeah, so Will, I mean, we'll see how this goes, but according to the last pay-per-view, Truth Martini may be out indefinitely. If not, this might be the last Truth Martini we see in Ring of Honor ever.
Could be.
I mean, we could look it up, but what the fun of that be? So we may have to do a little truth retrospective.
We'll find, right, he's not dead, but do.
Right. I mean, you know, we did it when Carino got fired, you know. Unfortunately, spoiler alert once again, there's going to be a lot of that in the next 12 to 14 months, Will. The landscape is really going to change here, but we're also going to get some additions coming soon. It's going to be a good time. But, Will, you know, we talked to pre-production. You know, like we always ask, you know, if this is your first episode of Ring of Honor TV, would you keep watching? I think we both kind of read that this is kind of a meh episode. You really could trim a lot.
I think this is a very meh episode. This would not sell me. I mean, I would have been, it's right, we're wrestling fans, so like we would be sold regardless. Like, oh, there's more wrestling to watch, but like,
right.
If I had caught a couple episodes in a row, I'd have been like, feels like a significant step down from last week.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be like, well, if it's going to be like this, do I have to catch it every week or can I get away with only watching it when I happen to catch it? Like, does it make it appointment viewing? It is not appointment viewing. It is for us because we plan this out.
Right.
And we watch it and talk about it. But like this episode, you could skip it.
Yeah, I mean, we are the only podcast that we know of that is a retrospective of Ring of Honor TV in chronological order. Just saying, Will.
As close to chronological as the video library allows us to be.
That's true. And shit's going to get a little wonky here. High fivers. So just with a quick programming note. So we will be doing TV next week. Once again, high fivers. But then we will be doing Supercard of Honor with another watch along the week after that. So stay tuned for that. But so that's actually going to drop on April 11th, even though it takes place on April 1st. But, you know, that happens. But, Will, I think, yeah, we've got events coming up pretty much every week for a while here. So before we even get to the road to Best of the World, which is 15 episodes long, we have five. Road to Best of the World, so we're gonna,
who knows, maybe at least one of them will be a conquest level show.
Do you think Supercard of Honor, well, because it's funny because Supercard of Honor is like, I mean, it's WrestleMania weekend. I don't know if it's necessarily their WrestleMania.
I
would definitely probably consider it their, I mean, Final Battle is their WrestleMania, so I would definitely probably consider Supercard's probably at least SummerSlam-ish.
I'd say Supercard is probably their, what you say, their, well, they got what? They got Final Battle. They got Death Before Dishonor.
Yeah.
Anniversary Show.
Best in the World.
I forget about Best in the World.
So, yeah, timing's going to be a little wonky here, high fivers.
And we're going to cover, right, we're going to cover main event or like main show Supercard. And there's Night 2 Supercard, which is not part of the pay-per-view. It's a separate show.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it's cool they're running two nights. You know, that is WrestleMania weekend. They are in Dallas. You know, the biggest.
Right, everybody's still there. Why not?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. But, Will, we're going to take a quick commercial break here. But as always, make sure you're joining, following all the great shows here on Visionaries Global Media. Just subscribe to Visionaries Global Media. Hit that subscribe button. You will get everything uploaded for you automatically. Usually our shows drop on Saturday. They're submitted for every Saturday, but that's just me throwing a little shade there. Yeah, and Josh and I will be recording Going Underground this weekend, which will be going out the first Tuesday of every month. But all the great shows on the Shining Wizards Network, and you can hear about that right here. And we'll see all the high fivers on the other side of the break. And do I hit this record button? Oh, yeah, because it doesn't do the thing anymore. So I hit record, and then I have to hit.
It's time for your weekly lineup of shows on the Shining Wizards Network. Start your week with the latest from Gorilla Brain, featuring the Year of Duke and Rogue, covering a year's worth of classic wrestling. And the Tots Pod, introducing the world to wrestling figure collecting. Follow up with 30 Screams or Less, a weekly review of horror movies in 30 minutes or less. And The Shining Wizards, where it's wrestling talk and talk about wrestling. The Network Week continues with The Mark Order, your place for everything AEW. And the ROH Revelry, covering everything in the history of Ring of Honor. Later, it's Radioactive Metal, bringing you everything from the world of heavy metal music. An Inconclusive Breakdown, keeping you up to date on everything happening in the world. The Shining Wizards Network is also the home to other great shows, like The Brocast, your watch-along podcast from Down Under, Turnbuckle Throwbacks, paying homage to the greatest shows in the history of pro wrestling, Wrestling Night in Canada, a focus on wrestling with a North of the Border spin, and Going Underground, a show that takes you back through the history of Lucha Underground. Enjoy all of the amazing shows on the Shining Wizards Network, available wherever you listen to podcasts and at ShiningWizardsNetwork.com. It's the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
Oh, okay. So now I hit it. It's just one button. All right, high fivers, we're back. Hope everyone enjoyed that great little commercial break that you could also hear on the Shining Wizards.
Hope nobody jammed their thumb hitting the skip forward button.
I mean, I never do that. Some of these are fucking ridiculous. Well, we talked about, I mean, that's the shitty thing about watching Rogan not on Spotify. It's just all, it's like, he had Rick Juan on from the Wu-Tang Clan. This is a while ago, but I was just listening to it on Saturday. And dude, it was like every 10 minutes. It was like, Jesus fucking Christ. I mean, I get it, you know, but Will, we've got a question from our good friend, the third member of the triumvirate that is Ring of Honor Revelry. Talking about some ice cream. Question of dishonor for this week. Where is your all-time favorite place to get ice cream? And when you go there, what are you getting? Will, you and I have eaten ice cream together.
We have. Shouts out Jennings.
Faith loves that place, so.
So does Britt.
The shitty thing is the only place you can get here is Whole Foods, and kind of have some beef right now with Whole Foods, so.
There's also a place up here. I didn't realize a fragrance. I got it for Christmas. There's a company called Salt and Straw. Mm. They've got a spot in Salem, but this is the point. Like, I'm all for like coming up like new flavor combinations, like getting a little weird every now and then. But this place, like, I look at the menu and I'm like, can I just get a fucking plain flavor of ice cream? Why does everything got to be so fucking, like, up its own ass?
I mean, yeah. I know I've asked you this before, and I'm pretty sure I know the answer, but you guys haven't been to the Ben & Jerry's factory yet, have you?
I have never been to the Ben & Jerry's factory, but my best friend when I was in elementary school, his parents worked at the Ben & Jerry's factory.
No shit.
Yes.
Oh, that could be dangerous.
I've heard it's a nice place. I've heard it's a neat place to get tour. You can tour Cabot, too.
Oh, nice. Okay. Yeah.
And you can tour the old mental hospitals.
No, I mean, yeah. That's always fun. If you get a chance, I definitely recommend the Ben & Jerry's tour. So I wish I still had my t-shirt from there. So there's a cool spot. They have like the graveyard for all the discontinued flavors. So that's always kind of fun. Obviously, you get lots of samples.
I mean, the one true flavor still exists. So
which one's your favorite?
As a youth, it was chocolate fudge brownie. And if I could eat it, it still probably would be. But Chunky Monkey.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not going to lie. My store brand equivalent of banana ice cream with chocolate chunks and walnut. Currently on sale, so I've been getting a lot of that. They don't put as many the ice cream tastes okay, but they don't put as much fun stuff in it as I'd like. You don't have a lot of the goodies.
Yeah, and my weekly Stanley Idaho shout out and reference League Lodge, when I was running the store, we had Ben & Jerry's in there, which is funny, much to the chagrin, obviously, because Idaho, I mean, you want to talk about red, we'll just say that, and obviously Ben & Jerry's is not very much that way. But I never get, because we had the little serving ones. Like, dude, that is a fucking tease. That is not enough ice cream.
It's not enough. That's a shot. You can squeeze that. Yeah, that's why I never understood. So, like, and Brittany's kind of the same way, where she's like, when it comes to like desserty things, she's like, oh, I just want like a little bit. I'm like, no, give me the fucking cake.
Yeah.
The whole ass cake.
Yeah. And the dangerous part about that too is my last two seasons in Idaho, I mean, my room was like 200 yards from the store. So I could just get up whenever I wanted to and just walk over there and buy Chunky Monkey. And
yeah.
I don't want to say I'm ashamed to say I did, but I did.
I work at a grocery store. I mean, it's always there.
Yeah, I know. So, but if you guys ever get a chance, well, I would definitely recommend it. And that's probably what, three, four, five hours from you guys, probably.
It'd be about four, I think. I don't know how off, because I can go all the way up to my dad's place about 3.5.
Okay.
So it's probably closer to like 3.
Okay. Yeah, that was like one of Faith and I's favorite first like tours together too. Yeah, we did a bunch of breweries on that tour too, and obviously Faith doesn't drink. It's just funny, but she just likes to smell the beer, so.
Brittany, yeah, I can't drink, but like I love alcohol marketing. Like I like seeing like I like looking at like the packaging, like how they try to like sell whatever the product is.
Yeah. Yeah, because you couldn't have like the apricot beer from Magic Hat then, could you?
Probably not.
It's got to be a cider, basically.
Right, because it can't have any barley or anything in it.
Okay. Good old Magic Hat. But, all right, as we're stalling time here, I did text Brendo, so we'll see if we get a response
from him. I mean, I think it was stalling. I figured we were just still, we're answering the question, but we're also not answering the question. But
classic style. The
go-to place. So I'll share two. So the go-to place growing up was in Shelburne, Vermont, or in Sheldon, Vermont. I'm blanking on the name of like the stand. We go get the soft serve stand, and there wasn't a lot of adult supervision by the kids that were working there. So if you ordered like a regular size soft serve, you were getting your money's worth. You know, no question about it. Like, every now and then somebody in line would order a large and it's like, you must be new. Like you don't, but when, if you order a large, they stack that cone high. It is a marvel. But around here, it's gotta be Pete's Scoop.
Interesting.
Not too far from Los Reyes. Hmm. Taco place that we took you guys to. It's the long-standing where they have, you know, second-generation employees, ice cream shop, and driving range open in the summertime. And I usually get something drinkable, usually because I'm driving somewhere after. So I get a shake a lot. I've been big on the Colliders, which is their kind of like a McFlurry. So you get the... I get the chocolate soft serve with either Butterfinger or with M&M's in it.
Nice. Yeah, it's I love ice cream. I just can't eat it as much as I would like to.
I eat it more than I should like to.
So I really kind of save it. So there is actually a really cool ice cream shop here. I have not been there. Faith's been here. Down the street's an old it's funny because it used to be a gas station where I used to buy my bus tickets back in the day. Called Joy, and they're open pretty much year round, which is kind of fun. So they have the fire pits outside and stuff like that. It's just tough because it's like in a residential area.
I've always said I wanted to do an off season ice cream stand.
Yeah. But I have
to, as soon as they start shuttering up, it's like time to open up, boys.
Yep. But I mean, listen, we've talked about it. You know, I've sent you and Brendan some hot egg stuff for sure. But there's the Windmill Ice Cream Shop in Tomahawk, Wisconsin. And yes, it is in an old functioning windmill. It's an old gas station. They've got 100 different rotating flavors. Turns out the lady that owns that shop is actually also the same lady I like to buy my honey from at the farmer's market up there. But yeah, definitely. I mean, when we last time Faith were up there, I think we stopped in 6 days. I think we stopped at least five times, if not seven. So, good friend of the show, my good buddy Andy came up to say hi because he lives up in that neck of the woods. So we took him to the shop. We'll go on a bike ride. It's like, okay, we have to get ice cream. Okay, it's Wednesday. We have to get ice cream. So, love that place. It's one of our favorite spots. But what's your go-to when you're going to the ice cream shop, Will?
So I said the Collider.
Do you guys have Blue Moon out in your neck of the woods, or is that a Wisconsin thing?
So, there's some of the flavor Blue Moon we're talking
about. Not the beer, right? Yeah.
Yes, I have had Blue Moon ice cream. Jenny's makes a Blue Moon ice cream.
Oh, do they really? Okay.
There's a couple other brands that the Whole Foods type store carries that have the Blue Moon flavor.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
Yeah, and the shitty part was the Mincher Golf Course, too, that Faith and I like to go to in Tomahawk also has ice cream. So it's like, Jesus, yeah.
Ooh, mini golf and ice cream?
Yeah, so I have to make sure I'm not going to get my AC1 numbers after going to Tomahawk. So we just won't tell Dr. Joe about that. So, but we didn't get an answer from Brendan.
He sent some pictures, too. I bet you all wish you could see him, but too damn bad.
Someday we might do some YouTube stuff here one of these days. So he's like, oh shit, that's right. There's a place in PA where every summer called Hessler's, local made and absolutely amazing. They sell it all around the area too. I usually get a large cup of either Rip Your Float flavor or cookie dough with whipped cream. Oh Jesus, and butterscotch, absolutely amazing. Also, it's on a mountain. I'm assuming, is that what that says? Oh shit, yeah, that's definitely
supposed to be. Also appears to have a mini golf course.
Oh shit. Will, do you like miniature golf? So obviously by
I love me some mini golf. The idea of playing a full round of golf doesn't have a whole lot of appeal to me, but I love driving ranges and I love mini golf.
Yeah, we can do a full game of mini golf in under 1,000 steps.
I get my competitive edge comes out.
Yeah, mine too.
Especially if I'm playing with my brother. There's a lot of arguments about how dull or sharp the pencil is.
Yeah.
Plenty of times where he seems like, that was a par. It's like, I don't fucking think so, buddy.
Yeah, I mean, last time I don't remember if we played two or three games. We just kept going back. I mean, obviously we paid for them. We're not that guy. But yeah, one of the games, like I had like three hole-in-ones. And one, like, it's one of those ones where you, like, spin the wheel and, like, you have to, like, you know, do a trick shot or something like that. So, I was like, I had to, like, do it, like, with my back turned between my legs. It was, like, a curvy, curvy one. I got a hole in one. I think I had to do it between my legs and face legs, I think.
Oh, yeah. You
know? I'm glad she's not here to hear that. But, yeah, and I couldn't do that again if I tried. So thanks, Brando. Appreciate that. So, Will,
I'm a big fan of this ice cream chat.
Yeah, I mean, mint chocolate chip. I mean, Cammy as a kid still reminds me of the Wizard of Oz. For a while there, like CBS would play the Wizard of Oz every March, and then my mom always got me mint chocolate chip ice cream. So I think it's my sister's favorite too. Yeah,
I would say not all mint chocolate chip is created equal.
That's true, but I don't know if I ever had a bad one though.
I think there definitely are some that just kind of taste like green coloring.
Yeah.
As with anything kind of mint flavor, there's like, ooh, this tastes like mint, and there's like, oh, mint.
Yeah, tastes like fucking fluoride from the dentist.
Right, this tastes like it came out of a bottle.
You can't go wrong with cookie dough. But we should probably get the Rob's question.
Almost forgot. Kind of, it still ties in. You know, we've mentioned the Lodge as Tom does. With all the talk of Jamie Lee Curtis of 2013, which two members of the Ring of Honor 2016 roster have been Freaky Friday body swapped?
Interesting. And listen, Josh and I always mention this on Going Underground too. It's just, you know, obviously we appreciate all the Brondo questions, and we get some, you know, got a couple from SJ once in a while, I'll get some for free, but just the act of listening that Rob's questions always cracks me up, and just the severe randomness of it. So who are switching? So it's got to be an older and a younger guy? There's two people in generally.
I mean, if it was a true Freaky Friday experience, right, it would have to be someone older and someone younger, right?
I wish Grizzly Redwood was still part of the 2016 Ring of Honor.
Why would you swap Grizzly Redwood and Hanson?
You read my mind, Will. Actually, I was thinking in the vein of Grizzly Redwood. I was thinking Cheeseburger and Hanson.
That would be a big difference. Height, weight, other things.
Yeah. The spin, this would be the Shotei spin of Doom. That'd be pretty fun. So yeah, fuck it. I'm gonna swap Cheeseburger and fucking Hanson. Top that, Will, which I'm sure you will. For some odd reason, if it was 2013, I think Grizzly Redwood and Mike Mondo would have been a lot of fun. You haven't mentioned Mike Mondo in here in a while.
It's gut check time.
Because I think he's current NWA, like, NWA champion, I think. Because I think he's having a nice resurgence in the NWA right now.
I forget the NWA is still
active promotion. I know, it sucks because he used to pop up on my Twitter feed a lot, but I haven't seen him in a while. I'm going to look up Mondo.
The only time I usually think about NWA is when HK breaks up Sal playing. I think I will opt for my Freaky Friday swap. What if I'm going for true comedic switcheroo here? So what if the Beer City Bruiser body swapped with one of the boys?
Ooh.
Then you could play up the storyline where the boy that's in the body of the Beer City Bruiser wants to, like, clean him up, so like he like cleans up more, like does something with his hair, cleans up like the beard and stuff, doesn't drink, doesn't smoke. Have Silas none the wiser be like, what the hell are you doing? What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Another one which I don't know about, could be all right. Will Ferrara and Moose.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Mike Mondo, where are you? Now that I'm going to search him, it's going to be all over my timeline now, but.
Probably. I mean, where is he? He's probably, it's only about 9:30 Eastern time. He could still be awakening on the town.
Shit, maybe he's not on the Twitter machine anymore. Well, I'm not going to look that hard. But Mike Mondo, we do, I mean, our breakout star of the year award is named after you, so.
He is the current NWA National Heavyweight Champion.
Nice. I think it'd be kind of fun. It's not really kind of going with the gimmick, but to switch Taven and Cole. It'd be kind of fun considering they've got some, like a rivalry. But yeah, I like Beer City Bruiser and the boys. So Will's always topping our shit. So, and then next week, Josh, we do not forget, we are going to reiterate your question about Lucha Underground Ring of Honor. We're going to kind of dig a little bit deeper because I'm sure we're going to need some time next week. But Will, I know a little bit short of an episode this week.
That's all right. I mean, when you get 2.5 matches.
Yeah, it's, I wish they would let Goto. I mean, he beat Dalton Castle. That was awesome. Great match, but you know, maybe it's just the mark in me. So, Will, any final thoughts, my friend?
Well, I'm just thanking everybody who listens. Thank you. You know, Scott George is listening. Saw him today briefly.
Nice.
When I was dipping in and out of the freezer at work, saw him, waved, said hi. Appreciate him listening. Appreciate everybody who listens on a regular basis, or even if it's not a regular basis.
Yeah, or if this is your first time.
This one. If somehow you wound up with this in your ear holes, thanks, or sorry if you lasted this long.
Yeah, one of these days we'll get to, you know, maybe we'll get to double digits one of these days, Will, so. You know, we at least got Tony to listen to an episode, so.
Tony did listen to an episode.
Which is good, so I'm sure he's got to make sure there's no, you know, Shining Wizard slander on the podcast on our network, so.
A little disappointed Brendan hasn't hit us up to help out with the radio broadcast punishment.
Oh.
I mean, you did get the shout out for the show opener, the Jaw Jaw Jaw.
I did. The Jaw Jaws. Got you know, so that's always good. So, but, all right. Well, we're going to quit sucking each other. Everyone's dicks ears and everything. But, Will?
Well, where's the fun in that?
Well, you know, it's that kind of party. But, Will, I appreciate you. Shout out to our wives, shout out to our cats. Tomorrow's opening day as we're recording. So,
it is
going to get a little hectic, but dude, yeah, the opening game of baseball is on Netflix tonight.
It's Yankees,
Giants, I think.
Giants, yeah.
I think, yeah. So, all right, Will, I appreciate my friend, and yeah, we'll see everybody next week.
This is the beginning of the end right here. Oh, no! Jay Triller!
Reach for the sky, boy!
This has been a Visionaries Global Media production. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
We miss you, Jay.